Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hello friends, and welcome to your weekly slice of the Kings of Anglia flagship podcast. I am Mark Heath. I'm joined by my two young friends this week, as Dr. Watson is off for half term. Well-deserved break, one has to say. This pod, of course, is sponsored by Molecular UK. Now friends, today is going to be a big mailbag show. We have literally tens of questions from across all social media platforms because we're so young, cool and relevant. We get them from all angles. But first of all, I'm going to introduce my two friends. Alex Jones, you spent the bank holiday, not like me, working. I do every bank holiday, not that I'm mentioning it that much. You went to Cornwall. How was it?
I did, yeah. It was really good, thanks. I got a few days down there with Stu off. Mark and I, for those who need the context of how this worked, were locked in negotiations about how many days I could take off. It was very tense. We had many hours, different ideas, different things being put forward. In the end, I managed to get a few days off, which was quite nice, while he was locked in his room in 34 degree heat, writing transfer rumours about Dan Neal. So, yeah, it was really good. It is, it's far away. It's a long drive, but it was really good. It's the first time I've been down there in quite a long time, actually, as well. I know that you and Stu are quite familiar with the area. We're down by Bude, in one of these kind of resorty places, and it was hot. And that was good. It was busy, but yeah, it's a lovely part of the world, isn't it?
Absolutely. The main takeaway from that, of course, is that I'm a very benevolent leader. And I'm willing to take one for the team at all times if it means you can get a break.
Yeah,
I'm good. True. Rossi, you'd agree with that, wouldn't you? How are you, friend? How have you been enjoying the weather? Obviously, you have continued working like me. I've got one big question for you, Ross. How many barbecues / pints have you had over the last week?
I've not had many barbecues, but I have had plenty of pints. I weirdly, on Sunday just gone, had a roast dinner, which a bit controversial in the summer, but there was currently something going on in Ipswich called Fork Night, which is like a discounted, like in different restaurants. And I went to Lord Nelson, shout out to the pub in Ipswich, went there for a roast, and that was solid, lovely, bit of beef, beautiful. Had stick toy pudding for dessert. And yeah, that's just been my sort of, I've stayed in Suffolk so far, since the season's done, because I'm a Suffolk boy and you've got to support all the locals, stuff like that. But yeah, a lot of different beard gardens have been entered, and that will continue going into June.
Where's your favourite beer garden, Rossi? Just out of interest, beer gardens are a particular key issue for me.
I haven't really got a particular favourite. I just go with the flow. Like, I actually give a shout out to Isaac's in Ipswich. That was
that is nice. That is lovely.
Yeah, that's deep. And they've recently like redone some things in there. So, but yeah, there's loads I can name. But I wanted to just say out there about the roast dinner that I had, which was very, I know it's hot, but you can still, you know, we're British, aren't we?
I don't know. I mean, you say it's controversial. I'd say it's insane, if I'm honest. If you're having a roast and a sticky toffee pudding, these are both winter things, friend. You must have been sweating balls afterwards.
No, I was fine, you know, to be fair, because once again, we've got a beer on hand. Yeah, you know, you've got that, and that cooled you down. But the roast just gets you all prepared, and you go on for a nice walk and find your next pub and go for a pint. And you're fine. Beautiful.
Oh, I love it. I love it this time of year. What's your favourite beer in this weather, Ross? What's your go-to? Does it have to be beer? I'm big on Aspals when it gets to this temperature.
Once again, I did have a Guinness the other day because I do like a Guinness, but I just like any just nothing rubbish like a Carling or whatever. That's just get in the bin. But I had a nice, what's it called? It's a Czech beer. It's with S.
Staropramen?
Yeah, probably that one, I think. But yeah, and I love. I had a Cobra. I had a Cobra Isaacs. They got a brilliant. By the way, they've probably got good top taps. Tier taps.
Yeah,
unbelievable taps. So I'm easy. I'm happy to drink anything. There's a limit, of course, but I'm happy to drink anything.
Pop and Carly. No one likes
yeah,
Carly.
Yeah.
I almost said Stewie. Alex, what's your go to beer before we get into the mailbag?
Nice crisp Asahi.
Mm. That's a solid choice. I'm seeing Modelo appearing on a lot more taps, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? All the way from Mexico. Not tried it yet. My wife, when she was in Mexico recently without me, became quite fond of it. So hopefully one day I'll get to have a pint myself. Friends, shall we, before we get to the mailbag, shall we just have a little brief praise here? A little brief, Alex, being the key point there, on sexy stuff, because you're our transfer guru. There've obviously been quite a lot of rumours doing the rounds, and you and Rossi are going to bring a much more in-depth transfer talk chat to listeners and viewers either today or tomorrow. The audio version will drop, the video version will be out later today. That's Friday if you want to watch that. But just brings up to speed, if you could, in less than 3 minutes, please.
Easy, less than 3 minutes. We've got a few different bits to go through. Let's start off with one that came from last night, which was Nelson De Ossa, Colombian midfielder playing for Real Betis. That sounds good, but fun. He spent a lot of time out in Mexico after leaving South America. A bit of a box-to-box midfielder. Feel like he would suit maybe playing next to Azor Matasiwa. And Ipswich are apparently interested in him and have inquired about him, according to ABC Sevilla. Over in Spain, a bit of interest from Argentina and Brazil in him as well. So that is one of the links. He hasn't really had that many minutes, and apparently Betis are just kind of, now they're qualified for the Champions League, happy to just shift him on to try and add elsewhere. And then we've had a couple of other rumours. Rogério Nyakossi has been an interesting one. I'll be honest, I've never heard of this guy until the link came out, but he was playing for Marseille before moving to Leuven in Belgium, played there for a bit and has done really, really well and has seemingly attracted most of Europe. And Foot Mercato, the French outlet, saying that Town are also in the race along with just most of the world, seemingly. We've also had a couple of other more kind of notable links, even though the reliability maybe isn't quite as strong. Solly March, again, one of those where it's Ipswich and six other Premier League teams interested in him, but someone who's been very good at Brighton, who's leaning on a free contract, a little bit injury prone, but comes with real experience at 31. Town reportedly interested in him, according to Team Talk, and also Ekrem Konur via Sports Boom. So take that with a pinch of salt. Linking Harvey Elliott along with RB Leipzig, Coventry, Sunderland, Leeds, etc. Harvey Elliott doesn't need much of an introduction, but has obviously had a tough time out on loan at Aston Villa. So, recording transfer talk with Ross today. That will go out this afternoon. We'll have a version of it tomorrow as well that will go out as a podcast, where we'll kind of have a deeper look at all of these links we've had so far. And I'll try and share a few more thoughts on A, the reliability, and B, actually the players themselves.
2.5 minutes. You just came in under. I thought you were going to go over. A player you've never heard of, first of all. That's my takeaway there. That's quite a big thing, because you know everyone. What was the first one called?
Nelson De Ossa is the first one. That one came out late last night. There's so many different elements to it. I mean, again, I'll share my actual thoughts on what I think he's like as a player and the reliability when we do the transfer talk. But when you've got a Colombian midfielder who's been playing in Mexico, who could sign from a team that's just qualified for the Champions League in Spain, there's a lot to like there.
Do you know, it just shows a difference in our mindsets, because you say all that sort of stuff, and my first thought is, you're big Dossa from Tyson Fury. you could use that, couldn't we? You're big Dossa. Anyway, friends, let's dive into mailbag, shall we? Look out for transfer talk when it hits your screens and gets into your ears at various junctures. Before we start mailbag, I just need to apologise for viewers. I'm getting slowly shinier as this podcast goes on. I am in the box room, the middle bedroom in Heath Towers, which in this weather becomes a sweltering box from hell, to use hyperbole via Alex Jones. I can't have a fan on, because obviously that would impact the audio. I can't have the window open, because then you'd hear Benson trying to kill the pigeons in the back garden. So I'm just going to slowly melt as this podcast goes on. And unfortunately, under these lights, my big forehead will get shinier and shinier. So look forward to that. See how sweaty I get before the end of the show. Look at you, Ross. You look so cool and calm and collected. Look at you just leaning back, enjoying yourself. Looking good today, Ross, actually, don't mind me saying. Right, we have questions from Twitter, X, Blue Sky, obviously, because we're woke, Instagram, and also from the KOA group chat. Ross, because you harvested most of these questions, I'm going to give you the choice of which platform we go to first. Where would you want to take a question from, first of all?
Ooh, what's the coolest?
Probably what's Blue Sky.
Everyone uses WhatsApp.
That doesn't make it cool, though, does it? Yeah. Makes it main. It's like Facebook.
Yeah.
I'd probably say Instagram, actually, if I'm honest.
Instagram is the coolest, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Right then. And I'll ask you, AJ, football or non-football to kick off with from Instagram?
We are a football podcast. Give me a football one. Come on.
Of course. All right then. That we obviously have a lot of questions about signings this summer, which I will try and kind of get to all of them. All right then, let's start with this one. Sam Clark 751 wants to know, where do you see Igeli next season, with the squad or on loan? And if on loan, where?
I like this one because you guys are really good at sending in all the questions and I'm really bad at looking at them. I go with the flow, basically. Yeah. This is one of like two questions that I actually saw and had a little think about beforehand. And I've been thinking about it for a while because it's tricky with Sindra, isn't it? Where he got up to speed, we saw some really good flashes, and then I guess Sheffield Wednesday away happened and he got hooked at halftime. And I don't think that trust fully rebuilt towards the end of the championship season. And it ended with him missing out on a few squads towards the end of that campaign as well, which isn't ideal for the most expensive signing in championship history. But look, we all know his qualities and what he can bring. It's just going to be difficult with a step up to the Premier League. What do I think happens? I think he'll stay. I don't think he'll go out on loan next season. Obviously, he's not going to leave on a permanent or anything like that with the money that Town have spent to bring him in. But I think that the benefit will be with him staying at Ipswich because two reasons. One, I think he will be better off being around the Premier League environment. It's where he wants to play. There'll be a really high caliber of players at Playford Road next year that he will get to train and play around week in, week out, even if the opportunities aren't coming for him as regularly. And B, you don't have to register him. He's under the age of 21. You don't have to have him as part of your 25-man squad. And that's going to be really important where, look, if you have two, three injuries, all of a sudden he could be thrust in there. And having him as an option would be really important. If he was to leave on loan, I think it would be down to the championship again. I think that although there would probably be a lot of interest from abroad, I'd still want him to go and get up to speed with English football. And I'd be looking at a top-end championship move, but I wouldn't be looking at a loan, and I'd be wanting to keep him at the club next year because of that experience and because he doesn't need to be part of the registered Premier League squad.
Okay, cool. There you go. Just to throw forward to more content, we're going to give you Stewie's doing a series of unit reviews. Which is literally like a unit by unit. So goalkeepers, defenders, midfielders, attackers, strikers, whatever, looking at exactly how they performed over the past season and what he thinks in terms of their ability to step up to the Premier League. The first one drops tomorrow, 6 a.m. It'll be goalkeepers. And I've just read it this morning. Interesting. Interesting, isn't it? Do you stick or twist with the goalkeepers? Has big waltz and his chance in the Premier League. And there's a good point in there as well about how good he is in commanding the area, which, of course, when you look at set pieces now in football, very important. Ross, quick gear shift, sticking with Instagram. This is from Biggles One, like it. If you had to live from only three restaurants / shops, which would they be? So your rest of your life, Ross, you can only go to three restaurants or shops to sustain your life. What are you choosing?
Okay, you've got to talk about supermarket.
Yeah.
You've got to do the food shop. And I'm a Tesco's man. Use a club card, very well, get some vouchers in the post now and then. So that is my supermarket of choice. Restaurant, I'll probably go with my boys, Bella Napoli.
Of course, yeah.
They're just top-notch. There's three of them in Ipswich, so I can just pick where I want to go. I've got three restaurants I can go in one. And then, do I go for like a cafe or do I go for like a bakery maybe?
Greg's?
Yeah. But then I like a traditional bakery.
Okay, so you go.
I know Greg's technically is, because wasn't Greg's called something else before it then turned into the massive thing it is now?
I'm not sure of the provenance of Greg's. I'll have to look that up.
I think there is. I think they were named something else, and then they moved into Greggs, and now they're just everywhere, aren't they? It's bloody drive-throughs now, bloody Greggs. But yeah, I'll just go for a bakery. Yeah, chartered bakery, because
it's near you.
So yeah, Tesco supermarket, good old Bella Napoli, and my bakery around the corner, because I'm just going to keep local.
You've got all bases covered there, Ross. You got any thoughts on this, AJ? Obviously, you live in Cambridge, so it'll be a high-end eateries and supermarket.
Gales!
Waitrose, I'd imagine.
Not Gales. So my supermarket would be Sainsbury's. That would be my one of choice. I live right down the road from one, and a nice big one, and Nectar points and Nectar card stuff and discounts are really, really good.
You don't do any shopping. Your mum does it. Come on.
Yeah, we actually get a Cardo delivery, to be fair. None of us actually go to shops anymore. We started doing it during COVID, and we just got too lazy of actually going out to shops. But if I was to go, it would be Sainsbury's. And then restaurants. I mean, I will always big this place up. I push them to once be a pod sponsor, not to their faces, but on this podcast. Dishoom, the permit room in Cambridge, is so good. It's so, so good. And I know one day Ross wants to go. He said he's going to come with me, and he'll shell out.
I've been to some.
Yeah, okay. There you go. We'll have to go to the one in Cambridge because it's really, really good. And yes, it's quite steep, but it's brilliant. And another one. You know what? I'm going to go controversial here. And this doesn't really count during the football season because I go, you have too much fast food, right? Because we stop at service stations all the time and you get a little bit sick of it. But you know, when you just want something quick and easy and you sometimes have a bit of a craving, my one recently, having been at a lot of service stations recently as well, is Wingstop. I'm getting, that's really good. I don't know if you've ever been, but that's nice. Good chicken, and I'll back them as well. So yeah, Wingstop, Dishoom and Sainsbury's.
I had a Wingstop in Croydon once. It was very nice.
There you go.
Dishoom, by the way, which obviously is someone who knows about food, I'm disgusted with because it's a chain restaurant. But I was actually chatting to a chef friend of mine the other day who said Dishoom is actually quite good. So I might have to change my opinion of that. I have to come down from my ivory tower. So we go back to football. Sticking with Instagram just gets easier. Shmi 1992. Another big narrative this summer, AJ. After Palace and Sunderland, in terms of what they've achieved, is McKenna daft to leave when you can see what Town could achieve? Now, clearly, there's all sorts of noise around him, likely to be this summer. We've already had quite a few pundits piping up saying he should go to Celtic. Celtic should get him. Pat Nevin, Kevin Phillips. Obviously, we don't even know if there is a job at Celtic yet. But when you look at McKenna this summer, are you worried? Are you concerned?
No, not really. I don't think he falls into a weird category where there are quite a few clubs I don't think would still consider him at the moment, because his stock isn't as high as it was 2 years ago. And there are quite a few jobs where I think that he's kind of above it in a little way. And he falls into this middle category where I'm not too sure how many jobs would meet that. The only one that I think really would worry me at the moment, and it looks like it is going to be a vacancy soon, would be Fulham. And even then, I'm not sure whether that would be an attractive enough job to take him away from Ipswich, at least this summer. Pardon me. Let's see how things progress next year. But at the moment, I wouldn't be that worried. I think that it's easy to look at, oh, you know, Team X has achieved this, and given what Ipswich can go on to achieve in the Premier League, why would you want to leave? We've gone over multiple kind of different reasons why. And at the end of the day, if you took, say, the Bournemouth job or the Palace job, they're teams who are playing in the Europa League next season. And Ipswich are going to be realistically in a relegation battle. So naturally, that's going to be a little bit different, and will always be an appeal to any manager. But I don't think that there is a kind of a job at the moment which hits that sweet spot for Kieran McKenna, apart from Ipswich, where the training ground that he's helped design opens in a few weeks' time, and he's going to play a big part in recruitment, and they're going to get another crack at the Premier League. So, yeah, we'll see what happens when we know what Ipswich's fate is going to be in about 12 months' time. But until then, I'm not too worried.
If I was McKenna's agent, I'd be whipping up interest around him, trying to get him another contract, I reckon. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Rossi, Kieran Newbury. Newbury from the KOA Posse group chat, exclusively. Harvested by Ross, or led indeed by Ross. World Cup obviously coming up. Starting to get a little bit more interested in it, closer it gets. What is the King's most iconic memory or moment from a World Cup? Now, Ross, I know you, like me, I kind of have dwindling interest in international football. I think I love following England growing up. That's kind of how I got into football, indeed, the World Cup and Italian 90 and all that. But then as I've been doing this job, I've got less and less interested in international football. I think mainly because international breaks are so annoying for us, and I resent them. But have you got a kind of favourite memory from a World Cup of the past, Rossi?
I like major tournaments. I enjoy that. Yeah. But international friendlies and even qualifiers. I know, like, most of the time the qualifiers, you just know they're going to qualify. I know there's, you know, Ireland, unfortunately, bless them, Dara and co, and not at the World Cup. But, yeah, the one that stands out for me all the time is, of course,
Zidane.
Headbutt. Last ever game in professional football. And then, of course, my boys Italy win that final and haven't qualified for the World Cup. I think they did qualify one more time, didn't they? But they haven't qualified for the last few years. But yeah, that's sort of the one that always stands out because of just that was such an iconic moment, was it? And, you know, it's been a lot that's come out of it. Obviously, the Frank Lampard goal that wasn't a goal but was a goal in South Africa against Germany. Yeah, not many key, like, personal memories. It's just things that stand out. I just enjoy just going watching just the random games. Of course, my other half's dad is from Cape Verde, and they qualify for the World Cup for the first time, so it's going to be great sort of watching them. I've got a Cape Verde shirt, and they've got Spain, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay, so that's a tough group. They play Spain on the opening games, so that'll be a good one to sort of watch. And he was saying, like, hopefully they just don't get absolutely hammered. But they could, you know, you never know. But yeah, looking forward to the World Cup, though.
It's all going to be in the middle of the night, though, isn't it? It's going to be
that's playing ones at 5 o'clock. So that's,
oh, is
that's
it?
That nice. So yeah, but I think the Saudi Arabia one is at 1 a.m. So yeah, I don't think I'll be watching that.
No. Same question to you, AJ, but also with an extra line from Steve Lewis. I think this is from Instagram. Who do you think is going to win the World Cup and who's going to be the dark horse?
Let's do the easy one first, the memories. I'm young and cool and hip, so anything pre-2010 is I've never heard of them, basically. Zinedine who was that?
Yeah.
So my kind of earliest World Cup memories, don't hate me, probably date back to 2010. Because as well, I was living in the country of one of the finalists in the Netherlands. So I have very strong memories of that and, like, dogs being spray painted orange and everything being orange everywhere, orange banners, orange, just all things. And obviously they went on to lose in heartbreaking fashion. One of the main memories from that probably came from the opening game, the Shabalala goal for South Africa, goal for all of Africa commentary as well with that, which was great. 2014 as well, because I always have fond memories and love for the Dutch team as well. The Van Persie header that he scored was excellent, the diving header. Very strong memories of Brazil getting absolutely walloped on home soil, that being one of the most iconic, astonishing games ever. And then everything beyond that's, I just forget because there's things like Russia and Qatar, and we don't actually like those World Cups, do we? But I think many people remember where they were when Kieran Trippier's free kick hit the back of the net against Croatia. I can remember exactly where I was. Who's going to win? I think that France have the strongest squad, so I think they would be my winners at the moment. And then dark horse, I mean, the obvious answer at the moment is to go with Norway, but they're a bit kind of like Belgium previously, where they were backed by everyone to be a dark horse to the point that they weren't, and they were also rubbish, so it didn't really count. So I'll go for, who do I think would make a good dark horse? I'll have a better answer to this at some point else, but I'm going to go with Graham Potter's Sweden. Why not? We'll have them. I'll back them to go quite far.
Superb. My memories from World Cup would be Gazza's tears, Italia 90, which was a seminal moment. It was such a big thing at the time that we had a special assembly the next morning where the headmistress sat us all down and said, it's okay for men to cry. That was quite big. Also from that World Cup, Roger Miller and his little dancers in the corner. You're probably looking at me blank. You don't know who Roger Miller is. And the very first game from that tournament where Cameroon beat Argentina, which is a huge, huge upset, and committed grievous bodily harm on Claudio Canizia, who was the kind of Argentinian star with the flowing blonde locks. I think Cameroon had two players sent off in that game, one of which kicked Canizia so hard that his boot flew off and went about 50 metres down the pitch. It's tremendous. If you actually go back and look at those games, by the way, from the World Cup Italian, aren't you? It wasn't very good. The games weren't very good. But for people of my age, it was like a seminal moment because England actually did something. They got to the semi-final. We had the Gazza thing. We had Bobby Robson, all that kind of beautiful stuff. So all of my World Cup memories, I think, would largely be confined to that, apart from David Beckham's penalty, which I think was in Argentina against Argentina in 2002, and it was in South Korea. That was the World Cup where Beckham had broken his foot after that extraordinary performance to get us there against Greece, where he played like two men and scored that free kick. And then the whole country was like praying for his foot to heal. And they needed to beat Argentina, old enemies Argentina, in the second game in the group stage. And they did. They got a penalty and he stepped up to convert it. And we were watching it in my old office at the Bury Free Press. It was fantastic. Anyway, we'll see what happens in this World Cup. I don't have high hopes, I'll be honest. Friends, let's start picking up the pace, shall we? Right then. This is from Twitter. Rossi, Peter, our Warsaw correspondent, Peter McLeod. He says he's in Nashville this week. He gets around, Peter. It's all over the place. He's in Nashville this week, where everyone seems to be in a band. If the Kings formed a band, who would play which instrument and what would it be called? We have done the band thing before, but I'm not sure we've done it through instruments. He says, apologies if you've done this before. Love you guys. No, Peter, love you. I think it would have to be called, wouldn't it, Kings of Anglia? I mean, yeah. there's a Kings of Leon, so we can be the Kings of Anglia.
Yeah.
We've got to stick with the brand, haven't we? Ross, you probably, I don't know this, but I'd imagine you're the most musical out of all of us. Which instrument would you play?
No, I can't play any instruments very good. I can, you know, a little bit on the bass, but I think the drums would just suit me. I'll just hope for the best, and I think that would be good in the back. I think that the most unappreciated member of the band, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe AJ on the keyboard, you're of course lead singer, and then on the bass.
Students on the bass. There's a great joke, by the way, about drummers. Have you heard that? What do you call the guy who hangs around with five other musicians?
Drummer.
A drummer, yeah. I would play the saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
My wife can actually play the saxophone, so she can teach me. She can also play the piano, but I like the saxophone.
Yeah, saxophone. Piano as well.
So maybe we should actually get our other halves involved. They're actually musical. AJ, I'd imagine growing up in a posh school, you probably learnt to play the bassoon or something. What can you play?
I used to be able to play, don't laugh, the trombone.
Oh, of course you did.
Yeah, and as someone who is still vertically challenged, when I was younger, I was even more vertically challenged, and genuinely these things were like taller than I was.
Yeah.
So there are photos of those somewhere. I'm like stood next to it. It's like about that much taller than me. So yeah, I'm sure I could polish up and learn some of that again.
Excellent. What's it on the bass, you reckon, Rossi?
Yeah, it would just be
like Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's got the look, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I reckon. Okay, cool. I definitely wouldn't be the lead singer. Can't sing at all. Right then. Right, Kevin on Twitter, AJ. This is more transfer stuff. Reminder that we only have an hour on this show. Will we go overseas this time with transfers? More overseas?
Yes.
Excellent. Good.
Yeah, we will look at every single link that's come so far, apart from the Femi Aziz one, which we've already kind of debunked. Everything has been abroad, and I think that's already an early indication. It's not the case that everything that Town are going to do is going to be abroad. It's not a case that every link is going to be genuine, but look at the new recruitment staff that have come in. And look, we've spoken to key figures at the club who said this is clearly an area that they want to improve on. And I've done a piece that went out yesterday looking at Sunderland and Leeds, and I had a little look through their recruitment and their transfer business as well. They don't sign players from England. They do not, really, at very, very limited amounts, and so much of the recruitment comes from abroad. Sunderland, literally, I think, have signed like one player of their 13-odd from another English club. So, yeah, it's going to be really important to do that if they want to survive and thrive in the Premier League. And that's quite exciting as well, I think. It'll be a fun summer to cover.
Exciting and confusing at the same time, because there'll be a lot
of... Awful for pictures.
That's very bad for pictures. For good point. Good
me
point.
Me typing in the name and being like, oh, the Diosso one yesterday. I was like, please, 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 please. I know they played in the Europa League. Please let there be a photo. And I searched it and there was nothing. Oh, yeah. So,
or you find a picture and it's like a grand. Yeah. Big problems. Big problems. Right. This is one of my favourite questions, Rossi. And you're the man to answer it, I think. It's from friend of the show, Nigel Gooding, who's on Blue Sky, formerly of Twitter with the fish, the bass. It says, hi, Kings, with KOA being a truly international phenomenon, correct? 70-plus countries listening in now, I think. Which location anywhere in the world would you most want to record a live pod from? I like this, because I like travel.
We've got to think of the behind us, haven't we? We've got like picturesque, you know, backdrop. Backdrop is the key. So probably anywhere in the Caribbean, probably.
Yeah.
I think the Caribbean would be my...
Anywhere in particular?
Barbados, maybe, or maybe somewhere you just don't expect. I've always wanted to go to Jamaica, so yeah. Jamaica's on the list. But yeah, going away from Barbados, you know what? I want to go to Japan. That's another one. Maybe we haven't cracked maybe the Asian market yet. So I think that's maybe where we could take. You know, I remember people just do nothing went to Japan, didn't they, for their... Yeah. Like, film.
That's a brilliant film, by the way.
But yeah, I think maybe we need to crack that market. So yeah, maybe Japan, Tokyo, somewhere like that.
Would we have to call ourselves the Bang Boys in Japan, right there too? Japan would be up there for me. That's the place that I most want to go that I haven't been. I've done quite a lot of the Caribbean, so although it's nice, you know, I'm more interested in places I've not been. I was thinking the Colosseum, which again is somewhere I have been, but I think it's the best thing I've ever seen with my eyes, the Colosseum. Imagine a pod in the middle of the Colosseum. That'd be great. And also, because I've always been fascinated with it since I was a little boy, Everest. Live pod from Everest. Again, probably logistically a bit of a challenge, I'd imagine. But if we could make it work, what a cool pod it would be, literally. AJ, I know you share my enthusiasm for going to Japan.
Yeah, where 100%. That would be my one. I have family over in Japan, so hopefully one day soon, fingers crossed. Could you imagine doing it with like Mount Fuji in the background? I think that would be so cool.
It would be cool. It would be very cool. Yeah. Or from the middle of Tokyo with all that kind of activity around you.
Amazing. Exactly. So that would be up there. You also know my love for Spain. And I have a feeling and a hope that one might come true some point soon.
Well. Yeah. Hold your horses, because we have a question from Callum Brissett, friend of the show.
Yeah.
It says Dreamtown pre-season tour location. So we may as well chuck this in while you're talking about it. On you go.
Yeah, should Spain be ideal? Yeah. It's sounding like that might be the destination this summer. Nothing, I don't think, has been signed off officially or anything like that at this point, but the understanding that we have is that it's looking likely to be Spain. There's a lot of clubs going to Spain. It's Cambridge. My boys are heading to Spain for some reason to play. I think it's Preston they're playing.
Cambridge, Preston, Spain. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, I think Lincoln are playing Leighton Orient, also in Murcia as well. Really bizarre. I'm hoping that if this does get signed off and Town do head to Spain, they go and play a Spanish club in somewhere like, you imagine like a Valencia, or I know that you want San Sebastian or something like that.
Bilbao,
that would be good. Somewhere that would be really cool. So we'll keep an eye out for that and what's going to happen with that. I'm really excited for it. That'd be great. Dream locations, I mean, again, Asia, somewhere around, I mean, anywhere, obviously Japan, of course. And I know that, I don't want to get too heavy on the political side, maybe the States is not the best place to be touring at the moment for some people, they might think. But still, I think like a US pre-season tour would be pretty cool still.
You'd think it was going to happen at some point, wouldn't you, with the ownership and stuff? They'd be going to America at some point.
Yeah.
If it is Spain, Northern Spain, I'm afraid I am going to have to come along on the pre-season tour this time. I won't do anything, but I just want to be there. Just make sure you're doing your work properly, that's all. What should we do now? There was another question here, which was linked to Japan. I think as we talked about Japan, Mike Giametti says, any summer travel plans before pre-season starts? Mike, he says, I'm currently in Japan on holiday. You lucky boy, Mike. That'd be top of my list. I'm going to Sardinia in a couple of weeks. We're double dipping in Italy this year, going to Puglia as well later on in the year. I've been learning Italian for 2.5 years. I'm determined to speak proper Italian to proper Italians. At the moment, although, as I know a lot of Italian words, but when it comes to putting them in order in a conversation, I think I might bottle it and just go, ciao, and that'll be about it. So, yeah, Italy is where I'm going. I think my favourite country in the world, Scotland as well. I've only done 25, but of the ones I've been to, Italy and Scotland would be my favourites thus far. Ross, have you got any plans? You obviously normally pop over to Naples to see La Famiglia.
That's hopefully maybe happening in September, but it's still very 50-50. But as we've just bought a house.
Of course, yeah.
The money is...
You are poor. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Suffolk, or I'm going to Norfolk in June. In the middle of June. So for a nice, long weekend. So that'll be nice. But yeah, as you said, I'm poor. So yeah, if anybody wants to, give me money to go on holiday, then... Just host
you. I mean, we've got listeners all over the world. If you want to have Ross in your house, what an experience that would be.
Yeah.
He'd be up for it. Give him a holiday. And to be fair, Ross, even not taking holidays, Suffolk is a nice place to live. Yeah. You've got plenty of options and Norfolk as well. AJ, you've been all over the world. Are you going anywhere for the rest of the year?
Or indeed this summer? The incredible picturesque Christchurch. Long way. Not to New Zealand, no, to Bournemouth. I'm going down towards the south coast with family in... When have I got that time booked off? Was it July? Start of July. At least you remember. That's good. And beyond that, at the moment, not a lot. Might try and do something. But obviously, I've been to New York recently, and that was very financially heavy, as you could imagine. And ooh. I know you're very aware of from having been before. And I've also been to the Netherlands recently as well. So it'll probably be a slightly quieter summer, but... down towards Bournemouth, and we'll probably try and do maybe something else small as well.
Lovely stuff. Travel broadens the mind. One of the great joys of life. Harvey Davis, another joy of life, a friend of the show, I think number 4, sweetest of Welsh princes. Wales, by the way, lovely place to go if you've never been. North Wales, especially. Harlech area, fantastic. This is coming to you, AJ, because it's a football question. I think we should go all in. This is a good point from Harvey, actually. Interesting. I think we should go all in on investing in a left back this summer. As much as I adore Leaf, I think it's important we need proper competition there. Do you think McKenna will go down that route or more of a backup / free agent again? I'm assuming Townsend will be released, of course. Poor old Connor Townsend with his knackered ACL.
I still think it's more likely to be not necessarily a free agent, but closer down the backup route because of what Davis can bring, because of how instrumental he is to the team as a person, as a player, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's the more likely route of the two. I can understand the logic behind going and really getting a stronger option, but it's quite similar. The back line is similar to the goalkeeper position. You don't just bring players on 60 to change the game, really, do you? And you want to settle on the back line as well. So if you go and strengthen and get a really strong first choice option or a competition or whatever, you're then in a position where realistically whoever you've got on the bench is not going to be happy. So, yeah, I think that I would see it more as a backup in terms of the recruitment this year. I still think Leif Davis will be the starter. But, of course, as well, I think it'll be a slightly different role. I'm sticking to it. It's going to be a wing-back role instead of a left-back.
I really hope it is, by the way. I really do. The more we talk about it, the more I want it to happen. And I know it's not the most exciting thing, but they just need to stay up. Stay up. And then build from there. And that would seem to give them the best option. Rossi, I'm going to stick with a football question for you. This is about emotion, though. Chung Kan says, football is often the right place, right time. And when looking forward to the Prem next season, you've got lots of teams in Europe, loads of them. Big managerial changes, some potential second season syndrome. And we are the most well-equipped of the promoted sides, is what he says. Given all of this, and this is early, Ross, this is... Friday, May 29th. Season doesn't start till August the 22nd. Given all of this, will we stay up?
I think we're more prepared this time around because I think we're just, I think even that the first few months of the last time in the Prem, I think we were still like thinking, how we got here? How are we still here? And, you know, even off the pitch, we're still building, you know, so much had to be done at Portman Road and everything like that. And recruitment, we didn't really have a recruitment department. Now we've had a good 2 years to really improve on that. I think the recruitment will be key this summer. And I hope they get it right. And if they get that right, then I think we can. I don't think we'll do a Sunderland, but I think we can just about stay up. I think the goal is just to stay up, because then we can hopefully then build on that.
That's all it's about, yeah.
Yeah. So
all they've got to do is survive.
As we record right now, yeah, we can stay up, but we've got to recruit good. If we don't, then we're going down.
I don't want to see any crazy predictions this time, by the way. Last time they went up, I had people telling me they were going to finish top half. And that kind of, that was ridiculous. And now people will say, well, Sunderland did it, why can't we? No, they just need to survive. Let's survive and then build on it, please. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. This is from Andy Mook on Blue Sky. This is for you, AJ. It says, keep the pods coming. We certainly will try, Andy. And hopefully as things start happening next week, perhaps, with the retained list, we'll have more to talk about. How many signings, in your opinion, do you believe Town need, and from what level? He says, i.e. Premier equivalent, and should we avoid the Championship superstars route again? I would say definitely yes to the latter. They need to get more experience this time around, and certainly, as we've discussed loads of times, with physicality and athleticism as the key metric, obviously on top of ability. What are you saying though, AJ? If you had to pin down a number, they did 12 last time. What would you say?
10, 11. I think you're looking at adding a new body in pretty much every single position of the pitch apart from left wing. I think they would be happy to go into the season with Jaden Philogene and Jack Clark, but every other position could do with someone else, either as a starter or as a backup. So I'd be looking at having a similar approach to the last Premier League season, which was, I remember you asked me this question, I said every position they got to try and strengthen, and Kieran McKenna going into that last Premier League season said he wanted two really strong options for every position. So that's what I'd be looking at. With regards to the recruitment itself, it's so difficult to recruit from the Premier League because of the premiums that you have to pay, because of the fact that the teams around you aren't going to want to sell players, because you're coming up to the Premier League as a newly promoted side, and you've already had that relegation, and players who will join you, if it's not on loan, if it is on loan, you're maybe not getting the best quality. If it's not on loan, you've got to convince players that you're going to stay up, and that if the team does go down, and you have to accept that's a real possibility, that this is still a project they want to be part of in the Championship to get back up again. So it's a really difficult balance to try and find, and that's where foreign recruitment comes in so much easier. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I think it will be, I'll put my neck on the line, so I think it'll be predominantly foreign recruitment here. I'm not saying it'll be like 80-20 or 90-10, but I think more than half of the deals that Ipswich will do this summer will be from abroad. Championship super team, definitely avoid that. We don't want a repeat of that, but you cannot ignore the markets. You cannot ignore relegated players. You cannot ignore players who've really impressed in the Championship. There are plenty of options. I will be digging into all of them over the summer, my transfer target pieces, but you cannot ignore that market.
When we unleash those bits, by the way, it's going to be like the Matrix, you know, just a stream of data, just AJ, just literally all the signings, all the potential targets. Blah, blah, blah. We'll get to that at some point. It's going to be exciting. Sticking with the same subject, this is from James F. Ross via the group chat. Oh, no, actually, it might be Instagram. Is it James F. the guy who lives in
Harvey. New York?
I hope you're enjoying your time in New York. Let me know how you're getting on, James, because that would be a dream of mine formerly a few years ago before I married and did boring stuff. I would love to have lived in New York. Anyway, he wants to know how many strikers are ITFC signing this summer and how many people that started versus QPR will start our first game in the Premier League, top tier, land of milk and honey. How many people will start?
Oh, I need to double check the lineup. Striker-wise, I think we need two. I think two is needed. Let me, on the fly, just quickly get up the team. Do you know what? I'm going to back Walton in goal. I'm happy with Walton, to be fair. So that's one. Furlong, Depends on formation. I know AJ's back in the back three. Furlong, O'Shea, Davis, Matt Siwa.
Yeah.
Philadelphia on the left. I think maybe it'll be a new 10. I think Nunes, I think there's another question we're going to be getting onto shortly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he starts. I think there'll be a new right winger. So maybe 4-5, I think, from the current crop.
Yeah.
From that QPR game. So two strikers and 4 or 5 who started at QPR will be on the opening day, potentially.
Like it. I'm going to throw this out here now because it's a good chat and we're talking about strikers. I reckon 3. And I reckon one of them should potentially be Jamie Vardy.
Mm.
Now, look, I know you're going to go, oh, he's about 300 years old. Yes, he is. But he is in the Premier League. I think he can still do a job. He's still got, what do we need? We need pace. He's certainly still got that. And we need finishing. That's the one thing that Town really lacked this season was kind of reliable finishing from strikers. And he, whatever you think about him, he is a brilliant finisher. And he's not going to start games realistically. But 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes off the bench, I think he'd be a useful body to have in the Premier League still. AJ, what do you reckon?
I'm not going to tell you what I reckon because I've spoken to Ross about this and I think there might be a little segment about this coming.
Oh, you're doing
on transfer.
Okay, I see.
Later this afternoon. So, I'll wait for that one. Can I also, I want to, on the striker chat, there's something that has really stuck in my head in the last week or so. And it's to do with my transfer targets pieces. Just so you know, a bit of a tease. I think I've locked in on who my number one target's going to be for this summer. So you have to wait and see on that one. But last summer, I did a piece on potential striker targets. I can't remember exactly which one it was. It might have been EFL targets. It was definitely on strikers anyway. And I picked out a player who got a lot of heat. And people saying, what on earth are you thinking? Adding him in with everything that's like who he is as a person, and you know he's not that good a player, stuff like that. This player, it's quite funny going back and looking at that piece in the comments. This player this season now has scored 17 goals.
Oh, I see.
He had 7 assists in the Championship. He scored the winner for his team in the Championship playoff final in the 95th minute over the weekend. And has been dubbed as one of the best free transfers in EFL recent history. So, yes, I will take your apologies in written form for those of you who called me a lunatic for having Ollie McBurney on my transfer targets list.
I love that you're taking the time to clap back at the haters just at this juncture.
I almost went through and like went to all the replies and was like, lol. But I thought I had to compose myself. I couldn't lose it too much, but I had to mention it in some form because
nice.
That was quite good. 24 goal contributions for a free transfer, but nah, not good enough, eh?
It's clearly not affected you, AJ. Not bothered you at all.
Hasn't got into my head at all.
Not at all. Farmer J Dog, you just mentioned it, Ross, on Instagram. Can you see Nunes staying as a number 10 or dropping back?
Because funny enough, when he was up the road, that was his role, wasn't it, really? And he was very up and down. I know we loved the signing and stuff, and he scored a few free kicks, and we beat Norwich finally, and, you know, he played in those games. Of course, the latter one at Carrow Road was an interesting cameo. I'm going to be very intrigued to see what his role is going to be next season. I don't know if... The thing is, though, we worked really well. When he was in the team, that's when we were clicking. And that was when he was playing in the 10. But I don't mind him dropping back down, you know, in midfield. But I think he'll stay in the 10. I think McKenna will keep him there, and he'll be an option in that role.
Okay. Let's stick with some more transfer targets or, indeed, questions. Look how shiny my forehead is, by the way. I slowly start to perspire. I'm hot. All right, Alex William and Harrison with an X, IG. These are both on Instagram. Harrison wants to know 5 dream brackets semi-realistic signings. Obviously, I'm coming to you on this, AJ. And Alex says, am I the only Town fan hoping we sign lots of expensive players? Pragmatism sounds very boring. Just make it rain, baby.
This is tricky now because I have to do a balance of not wanting to show my hand too much on my
don't give away the crown jewels.
Yeah, exactly. but also giving you a little taste into it. Let's talk about the expenses. So, yeah, of course, we all want that. I think that Ipswich will break their transfer record again this summer. I think that you're going to see a signing in the region of £30 million, maybe, coming. I think breaking what we've seen before. In terms of, like, dream signings, ideal signings, this is really difficult. And I haven't really thought that much about dream signings because I've been very much focused on, like, keeping things hyper-realistic, which always brings me back to that one pod where I got really thrown off by, like, if you could sign anyone. And I ended up saying Amad Diallo because he was in really good form at the time. And then you were like, oh, anyone in football history, choose Amad Diallo. I was like, oh, maybe not.
Just give us a couple. Yeah. If you can't think of five, just give us a couple.
I mean, the ones I have jotted down that we'll touch on a bit more, I still think that people I'm going to mention Ziyan Fleming still in my boy, my man. I think he's great. He scored 11 goals in the Premier League in his first season at the level for a terrible Burnley team. I've already written about him. And I just, yeah, you cannot ignore that, even though he's been relegated. Really, really good. Some of them that I'm not sure will make the list, but are quite interesting. Sergio Arribas at Almeria, if they want the number 10. Exciting Spanish number 10 in the second division. Yeah, but his numbers are really, really, really good. I mentioned in the piece I did yesterday, which got the Diossa links, that actually, having looked at Betis, and I always try and keep an eye on Betis. I don't know if you get this, where you sometimes go on holiday and you don't watch football on holiday, but sometimes you go and watch a game and then you're like, I have a thing for that team now. I have that with Real Betis a bit, and I still follow their games. Sergi Altimira, I think, is a better option than Deossa. He's got the height. He's a proper defensive midfielder. I like a bit of him. So, yeah, let's go with those ones. As I said, plenty more to come. Ziyan Fleming, I'll back him to the ends of the earth, and I still think he's really, really good. And then there's a couple of sexy Spanish names. Sergio Arribas at Almeria. And Sergi Altimira at Real Betis. Just to give you an insight of the breadth of recruitment analysis here, I have literally got, and you won't be able to zoom in, hopefully, and see all the names, but there's like a color-coded. Yeah. I'm sorry, there's like a color-coded list.
Just you wait. Of just names, you wait till we unleash this, friends.
Pages and pages, which are being built up over and over.
It's going to be good stuff. Right. DJ, friend of the show number one, all the way over in America, asks on Blue Sky. It's a good question, but it's not as good as I first thought when I read it. If the Premier League teams were literally their nicknames, who would win, Rossi, in a battle royal? And he says, Eagles v Seagulls, Tigers v Black Cats, etc. And I thought, wow, what a question. But then I looked at the Premier League, I looked at the teams in it, and most of the nicknames are really boring, aren't they? And there is an obvious winner, because they'd be armed. It'd be the Gunners.
Yeah.
They would win. So I don't know if you've got any other thoughts on that, Rossi.
Yeah, you've got, like, you know, Bournemouth, the Cherries.
Yeah, they're not beating
anyone, are they? No, like the Tractors, Ipswich, we're not got much hope, have we? Man City, are they like Citizens or something? Like, what is that?
What does that even mean? It means nothing. It's certainly in a scrap. You're not back in the Citizens, are you, against the Gunners?
And like Seagulls, anyone hates Seagulls, don't they? Yeah. So just, they can get in the bin. Eagles, though, they can, that'd be a good fight. Newcastle, what are they? They're Magpies, are they Magpies?
Magpies, yeah.
Yeah, so
they'd be losing. I mean, the Tigers, I would say, are the next best favourites.
Yeah.
Behind the Gunners. At least they're, you know, an apex predator.
Depends where we go with this. I'm back in Fulham, the Cottagers. If I dropped a big old cottage on top of you,
literally just a whole house,
just drop it, then I'm winning. So yeah, I'm back in Fulham for this.
Well, that's an interesting take, to be honest. Yeah, and battle royal. You've got your guns. I'm just going to drop a house on said guns.
Exactly.
What are you going to do? There we go. I like it. Why not? Good answer, AJ. May have claimed the man of the match trophy for today with that answer. Where are we? Let's do a few more. We've got loads. Where did I see a good question? Dead air is a crime. Let's just do this one. Stevie Adams, I think it's on Instagram. Ross, this is a good one for you. If you're a dog, which breed would you want to be?
This is actually WhatsApp.
WhatsApp, sorry. Yep.
Breed a dog. What dog like lives the longest? So I don't want one of those
small dogs, tiny dogs. Yeah. The smaller the dog, the longer it lives. Like little Jack Russell things that are annoying.
You don't really want to be a pedigree though, do you? Because pedigrees don't last long, do you? Unfortunately.
What you want to be a mongrel?
Yeah, mongrel.
You want to be a small mongrel?
Yeah, or just a nice, just good side mongrel. Mix of different things. So yeah, I'll go for a mongrel. Or even though you've got a hard sort of early life, greyhound. You know, you're working for, you know, for your, you know, for your food and going, you're running around chasing that rabbit or whatever it is. And then you've got a nice, just chill rest of your life, haven't you? You
can
just,
also, you know, they're very lazy greyhounds, contrary to popular opinion. They don't need a lot of exercise, they just like to sleep. I mean, in my experience as a dog owner, it's always the little dogs that cause problems. It's always the Jack Russells, the little terriers that try and start fights with Benson. I would want to be a massive dog. I want to be like something that looks like it should be in Game of Thrones, like an Irish wolfhound or a Leonberger. I met a Leonberger the other day. They're absolutely gigantic dogs. Heads like bigger than, you know, certainly bigger than my head. Yeah, the thing I like most about dogs is big fat brick heads. Do you know what I mean? Like you can really like pat them without worrying about, you know, in any way bothering them. Solidly built dogs is what I'm after. So I'd be one of them, or a massive like bully dog. Because I love bully breeds. AJ, how about yourself?
I just want to be Benson because you treat us all like royalty. I've seen photos of you cooking steak. You send to the chat, just cooking this up for the B unit. You missed a game to celebrate Benson's birthday once.
I missed the first game of the Premier League.
Yeah, which is unbelievable. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I loved it. I respect it. So I don't want a bride. I'm just going to be Benson.
Benson does actually live better than we do. I mean, he eats healthier for a start, and he probably has as much money spent on his food than we do. Anyway, that's a good answer. Again, you're pulling away now, I'd say, in the man of the match stakes, unless Ross can pull it back. With this question, Ross, Samuel Edwards wants to know, with the hot weather recently, what is each king's ice snack of choice? What's your go-to?
I like a Magnum.
Cannot whack a Magnum. Any particular type of Magnum?
Do you know what? There's new ones they've brought out recently. Pistachio, which a bit controversial maybe, but they're really nice. Pistachio Magnums. I've been having them a lot recently. But any sort of Magnum, I don't mind.
They are delicious. Yeah. I don't know if you had this, boys. Certainly, it was a case for me and my wife. When I was a kid and the ice cream van used to come round, and we used to go, have an ice cream, we have a flake 99, can we have this, that, and the other? And mum would always go, no, there's choc ices in the fridge. And the choc ices were always like the lowest quality. Yeah, the sort of thing you take the paper off and the chocolate comes off with it. You know, she's got them in bulk from a supermarket. They're basic. Did you have that as well?
Yes and no. Definitely choc ices. Weirdly, my nan, she was like addicted to them for a while.
Addicted to choc ices.
Yeah, she was. She was just she would just eat
10 choc ices a day habit.
Basically, I think sadly it was because of her dementia.
Come on.
But good old Doreen, big town fan as well. I just remember just going around and she was eating the choc ices. I was like,
oh man,
bring them back to my childhood.
I don't know where to go now. We'll just move on. Oh God. I need to find another question. I can't find another question. What's the next question? Here we go. Any chance of a KOA/Heathy food review crossover episode where Mark takes the team for a nice lunch to discuss town? If so, where would it be? Oh dear, oh dear. And it's food again. I definitely wouldn't be taking you for choc ices after that. I like the idea. I'm gonna have to fill here because the boys have completely gone. I like the idea. My favorite cheese, if you're asking, is Stilton. Liam H on WhatsApp. That would be my favorite cheese. And in terms of a food review KOA crossover, where to take the team for lunch? Good cue. Somewhere nice in Suffolk, somewhere like Tottenham Mill, perhaps. Lovely there. Or indeed, obviously, the obvious place would be the spiritual home of KOA. Which is what's it? I've totally forgot its name now.
Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons. Where we actually interviewed you, AJ.
Yes,
and had several big meetings. Back in the day.
Since then, I use it as my pit stop if I'm ever solo covering a presser.
Yeah,
if I'm ever solo covering a presser, I kind of do this thing where I want to get the Suffolk, the Ipswich drive part out of the way to get home. And then I go there because it's just onto the A14 and I rattle out all the presser lines from the Tim Hortons with my little donut and my coffee.
Lovely stuff. Ross, have you stopped crying yet?
Yeah, all good, composed. What you got for me?
Where would you like to go for a KOA/food record?
It's got to be like a good Suffolk like pub that...
Oh, I'll tell you, it'd be good, the Maybush.
Yeah, Maybush.
Maybush, yeah. Looking over the estuary there, it'd be lovely. Yeah. On a nice hot day, lovely stuff. Cool. Right, I think we've come to the end of the questions, which is, as I desperately searched for a question there to move us on from... that last subject, which I won't bring up again. Bainesy has asked about transfer strategies. We've done that. Hopefully you agree with that, Bainesy. Have I missed any? I don't think I have. Oh, no, here we go. Here's a good one to finish with. A little bit of light relief after a bit more light relief we just had. Andy Mildwater wants to know, AJ, would you rather fight a kangaroo or a badger?
A badger's more dangerous than I realised. I thought you could just punt pretty, a badger. And
they're pretty bad boy badgers. I mean, if it's a honey badger, you're in serious trouble.
But kangaroo, have you seen the force with which they can like...
Have you seen the picture of the ripped them. Kangaroos, by the way? Have you seen them? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I would back myself much more against a honey badger. Of course, just to stress, KOA does not endorse animal cruelty or violence. Yeah. Or what did we do previously? Taping them to lampposts.
Yeah, definitely not. Like that. We don't do that.
We don't endorse that. But I would back myself to punt a badger really hard.
Yeah. It's a honey badger. I'm sorry, mate. A honey badger is fucking you up. They're doing serious damage to you. You want to look them up. They don't give a shit, famously. They take on lions, tigers, all sorts. Ross, you once claimed that you would tape a horse to a lamppost. and we didn't get cancelled for that, pleasingly. That was only a joke. Kangaroos or badgers? Have you seen that clip, by the way, of the guy fighting a kangaroo? The kangaroo's got his dog in a headlock and he runs over and kind of frees the dog. And then the kangaroo squares up to him and he just clocks it with the right hand. And the kangaroo is like suddenly like so shocked, he just manages to run off. So you've got the element of surprise. A kangaroo, you might be able to take it out. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I think their kicks are going to be deadly. I think
they are definitely going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think a badger, they'll give you a massive fight, but they, I don't know, I think you can somewhat get on top of it and just...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to go
beat
badger.
It. Okay. You're both going badger over kangaroo. That's where we're going to end the podcast today, friends. It's been all over the shop today, hasn't it? We've done a lot of serious questions. We've had quite a lot of mirth and hilarity as well. Ross is still wiping the tears from his eyes. Friends, have you got anything else to mention? I know we've got to mention, Ross, and I'm going to come back to you now because we've got a KOA special going out Sunday morning, 6 a.m. You've already probably seen a few words from it. An interview with a legend of town. And I think from my experience of seeing him interviewed and listening to him talk, one of the nicest men ever, and you can confirm this having spoken to him, Tony Mowbray.
Yeah, what a man, what a gentleman. Had such a great conversation with him. I didn't really need to speak much, really. He just went. And then I was like, well, just going to take that out of my notes, going to take that out of my notes, because he's really covered it. But a really good chat about his whole career, really, about his sort of early days in football to, you know, playing for his boyhood club, Borough, then going to Celtic, not really working out there. You know, sadly, he lost his wife, Bernadette, to cancer when he was there. And he sort of was able to come to town and sort of brought, you know, him back to life, really, in terms of his footballing. And, of course, he famously scored at Wembley in his final ever game, although he wasn't supposed to be his final game. He was going to continue, but apparently he had a training session and he was rubbish. And he was like, yeah, my career's done. And of course, went into coaching at Town.
Yeah.
And then he's gone on this amazing management journey with so many different clubs and so many great stories. He mentioned memories. I did ask him, has he ever been close to becoming Town manager? Unfortunately not, but some really good comments from that. And the teaser we're going to be playing is going to be actually talking about his Wembley goal, because
excellent.
I love the story, which you're going to hear now.
Here we go.
Right at the start there, my dad had worked in the steel industry all his life. He, in my back garden at home where we lived, he'd got a scaffolding tube and bent it in the heat of the iron works, and we ran a football through it and put it in a net, and I had it hanging off the washing line very high up, and then I could drop the ball to whatever height I wanted it. So I practiced heading all my life, from the age of maybe 10, where that contraption was put onto the washing line. And if you can picture it, it bends up and then bends around, and the wire was put in and the ball was dropped, and we could adjust the height of the ball. And so from the age of 10, I felt heading was something I was good at and could do. And I think back to the last ever game of my football career and think all of that work I put in through from the age of 10, every day going home, even when I was a professional, I would still go round my mum's and head that ball. It all paid off on that last day for me. That ball coming in again, Magilton put it in, I think, didn't he, Jim? And and it was all there for me to timed my jump, timed my run. You use a bit of leverage off a defender, and I bullied it into the corner. And all of that practice, all of that work paid off.
What a lovely man, and what lovely insight, Ross. And how ridiculous it is that we get paid to do this. And he's the first in a summer series, Ross, isn't he? I don't know if you can drop some other names out that you've confirmed that may be coming soon or...
I'm happy to. I spoke to Jack Colback, another sort of northeast lad. He recently announced his retirement. So he had two loan spells at Town, but his first loan spell was pretty successful in terms of him being named sort of Players Player of the Year and stuff like that. Really good chat with him. It'd be interesting to see what he's got up his sleeve, you know, after finishing football. Spoke to good old Clack, Frank Newble.
Frank Newble.
And one thing I loved about that interview, he was wearing an Ipswich Town training kit. Because he, back in, I think, 2023, I think it was, he was invited to go and train with John McGrill, his former manager at Colchester. He was just to keep fit and stuff, and he was training with under-21s at the training ground, and he was gifted the training kit, and they said, oh, yeah, you can keep it. And he said he still sort of wears it now, and really good chat with him. Also, David Lowe, who sort of got connections to Tony Mowbray, was managing at Blackburn and sort of caretaker manager and stuff, but really good player back in the 80s and 90s. I was actually surprised the amount of questions I got from fans just saying like he was their hero back then.
There was a big response to that, wasn't there? I saw that.
Yeah, really response. So really good chat with David. Really enjoyed chatting with him, even though it was before my time, but so many great memories and stories. And many more other pods to come. I've got a few other lined up. Hopefully I'm going to be able to record them shortly. And then, all summer, Sunday, 6 a.m, they're going to drop on your feeds. So, look forward to them.
Yeah, audio feed, obviously, free. But if you want to watch them as well, which I think always just adds a little bit more when you're watching something, you can see the kind of interaction and the way they kind of react to your questions and their expressions and animation while they're talking about it. I think it's just an extra level of an interview. And that obviously is for subscribers. And at the moment, we have a offer for subscribers, £4 for 4 months. So if you subscribe now, that'll take you through the summer and into the Premier League season. Obviously, lots to come over the summer, big summer ahead. £4 for 4 months. Anything from you before we take our leave, AJ? Anything to mention?
Yeah. Firstly, pardon me, I'm switching from Sweden. It's Japan is the answer for my...
The dark horse. You've been researching, have you?
Yeah. I know that Mitoma's going to miss out through injury, but they've beaten Brazil and England in their last few friendlies. So I'm going to go with that until I change my mind in about half an hour's time. But yeah, Japan locked in for now. And also, I every time I look at you, Mark, I've been thinking of something from The Simpsons, and it's finally dawned on me.
Is anyone here
a big Simpsons watcher? Anyone? Has anyone remembered when Homer shines his head in the Shino Borlo? Like that, when he works at the bowling alley. Finally, I've figured out. Yeah, that's
look how shiny it is. Good Lord.
I need to go
and stand in a pond to cool down after this. I also laughed quite a lot, which has not helped with the sweating, the perspiration. Friends, let's bring this to an end, shall we? I've very much enjoyed today's pod. I hope you have too. Mailbag's always good to hear from you and answer questions across all sorts of things. Just a reminder to support our sponsors, use code KOA10 at molecular-uk.com for 10% off all that excellent car cleaning products. Obviously, it's the time of year when you want your car to be looking spick and span, and their products are excellent. I can say that because I've used them. Banana Dye, particularly the interior of the car. You use it once, and your car is spotless. Looks like one of them kind of chauffeur-driven sort of cars for a good month or so. Very, very good product. And also use their wheel cleaner, which is fantastic. Gets dirt off incredibly well. And also, if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We've not had one of those in a while. It just helps lift us visibility-wise in the charts, helps more people find us as we head into the Premier League podcast once again. And also follow us across social media, Kings of Anger on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I've missed one. I can't remember what it is. What have I missed?
X, Twitter.
Yeah. Can't.
Blue Sky.
We're on there. The three of us are also on Blue Sky. If you want to follow us on there individually, Watson refuses because he hates social media and already reckons he's got enough of it in his life. He'll be back next week, by the way, friends, when we convene again for this very podcast. Anything else to mention, boys?
No. Thanks for
Excellent. Me. Friends, have a great weekend and we'll be back next week to speak to you all over again.
Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.